My friends, we live in a society that is obsessed with worry and anxiety on this Easter Sunday. And we could pick any number of issues and say that's the one that demonstrates how worried we are. And just picking one sort of out of the air, I want to pick the particularly important issues around health and aging. If you turn on the television, it will not take you more than a couple of commercial breaks to see a new prescription advertised that is better than the current one you're taking for your diabetes. This one will solve all your problems except for the side effects, which sound really, really horrible, right? Have you heard these commercials? And it's fantastically better than whatever it was before. Same with your blood pressure medications or your back pain. And then there's human interest stories that are on the Today Show and Good Morning America about this week, coffee is the key to a long life and health. And the more coffee you drink, the better it is for your heart. And then next week, Good Morning America and the Today Show will tell you that coffee is the number one cancer killer and you should stay away from coffee and don't drink it ever, ever, ever. It's the worst thing you can do for yourself. And what are we left to do but throw our hands up and say, I don't know. This is a mess. What is it? Who's telling us the truth? And this obsession and anxiety wouldn't have made sense to the Easter disciples and to the Apostle Paul when Paul writes in the Colossians. Remember, Paul is writing significantly after Jesus has been resurrected. And Paul is writing to a community that is just as worried and just as anxious about their future. Perhaps more because they didn't have all the fancy medical stuff that we do. They didn't have all of the scientific knowledge that we do. Life was tough in the area of Colossae, in the Middle East, tropical diseases, all sorts of dangers from wild animals, diseases from hygiene and lack thereof. And Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3 something that is absolutely incredible if you take him on the face of it. Paul says, "You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." That's Paul's Easter message, summed up in a sentence fragment. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? It means nothing less than a revolution in how we think and how we act. Paul knew the story that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary witnessed a tomb without a body in it, a grave without a corpse. And Paul knew that Easter meant new life, that resurrection, blessings happen even as we live in a world in the midst of a medicated and anxious and despairing world. The Easter message of Paul in Colossians is, you already died with Christ when you became his disciple. We were talking a little bit this morning about baptism in the early church, the very earliest centuries of the church. Only did baptism one day a year, one day a year. And it was this day, it was Easter. And the reason was you had a service that started at night. It started before dawn. And what happened was, and you can go to places in the Middle East and in Turkey and you can see the baptismal fonts. They would take the people who wanted to join the church. We're talking about adults here. They would take the adults who wanted to join the church. They would enter into a baptismal font that was built into the floor of the sanctuary. Everything was dark. Nobody had candles. It was all dark. And you were asked, do you really want to change your life? Do you really want to become like Jesus Christ? Do you want to look to him for guidance and for the rest of your heart's desires? And if you assented yes to that, then you went down into the baptismal pool, you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then you came up on the other side, leaving the darkness behind. You would come up the steps of the baptismal pool, you would walk out, they would open up the doors of the sanctuary, and there the whole entire congregation would be gathered with candles and torches. Everyone would be dressed in white, and they would be welcoming you into new life and new light. That's what Paul was talking about and referring to, that you were raised with Christ when you went down into that water and came up again, a new human being. If by joining Jesus Christ on the cross you died, Paul says, and if you died with him, then you rise with him on Easter morning. And if that's happened, that you are already resurrected in Christ, then you're set free. You're set free from worry about the government, worry about the world filled with evil and brutality, a world filled with sin and greed and sickness. The Roman Empire's wealthy class in Jesus' day was so worried about bad years of crops and famine and natural disasters and political instability that what was the Roman Empire known for? They were known for their banquets, which the wealthy would eat at a banquet and would gorge oneself to the point of uncomfortableness. They even had a phrase, a saying, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die." Charming little phrase there, isn't it? But for Paul, that doesn't mean anything because we've already died with Christ. For Paul, resurrection means we have already died with Christ to greed and to gluttony, to worry and to panic. Jesus says, "Don't worry about what you will wear or what you will eat, for God will take care of you." There is nothing that anyone can do to Mary Magdalene from here on out after what she's witnessed, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Do you think that after witnessing someone raised from the dead that a Roman spear can spook Mary Magdalene? Nope. She knows that she is a child of the King, a follower of a mighty and victorious Messiah, and that even sin and murder and crucifixion cannot contain our Lord. Mary Magdalene knows what it means to believe in the impossible, that the stone can be rolled away. Mary Magdalene knows what Paul is talking about when he says, "Set your mind on those things that are above." And Mary sets her mind on peace. Mary sets her mind on living in Christ, on union with God. Mary Magdalene knows that what she must do from here on out is to model her life and put all things in Jesus' hands. She must try to live as Jesus lived, forgiving her enemies, praying for those who persecute her, living in peace with all. Putting our mind on the things that are above means on earth, the life we've been living in a post-resurrection world is not to be wasted. Every moment that we live now, post-Easter, is an important one, is pregnant with meaning. When we go out into the world tomorrow, it's not going to seem all that different. When Mary Magdalene went home, it didn't seem all that different. But what happened was Mary knew that the resurrected Jesus was alive and that she couldn't go back to that workaday world and experience the same sort of thing. She couldn't live the same way. Instead, when neighbors came to Mary Magdalene's home, she loved them with a love that was inexhaustible because they were people that God had sent to her. Paul traveled around the Middle East, visiting people's homes, people he had never met before, asking them to put him up in their homes so that he could continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he believed that God had sent those people to him. So the next time somebody at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning knocks on your office door when you are at work and you think this is another distraction, no, it isn't. Not in the Easter way of thinking. Set your minds on those things that are above. God sent that person to you, and God sent them to you for a special reason. It's the same thing with forgiveness. We forgive as Christians not because it makes the most sense. Practically, forgiveness is not a very sensible thing to do sometimes, but because Christ commands it, and he modeled it with his own life, forgiving his tormentors on the cross. Pastor John F. Alexander, who was a pastor in San Francisco, points out that the reason Jesus washed his disciples' feet the night before his death, he knows he's going to die, and Pastor John Alexander asks, do you think Jesus was annoyed to have to wash his disciples' feet as one of the very last things that they did together? And I never thought about it that way before. One of the very last things that the disciples did, Jesus had to bend down and wash his disciples' feet. People who he knows are going to betray him. Do you think he was annoyed? Do you think he was exasperated? Or did he do this? Did he humble himself because he wanted them and us to learn what life in Christ really means, to learn what resurrected life really means, to learn, as Paul puts it, what the things above are really about. It should not surprise us that Christ dies on Good Friday on the cross, because death is part of humanity. Nobody gets out of here alive. What should surprise us is that Christ can defeat death and can tell us not to be afraid. What surprises us is that when we shout into the tomb, we don't hear an echo back, just echoing off the walls. We don't hear our own voice, but instead we hear a reply, and that reply is the voice of Jesus Christ. What surprises us is that only Christ can kill us at this font. Only Christ can raise us at this baptismal font up again, so that we can be united with him, so that we are resurrected with him. And through baptism and discipleship, we are connected forever with Jesus' death and life. That's what surprises us in the Easter story. And that's what is so meaningful, because nobody can take that away from you. Your connection to Christ is made eternal and permanent and everlasting in the resurrection story. Have your mind set on those things that are above, for you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. Alleluia. Amen.